Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us. We are doing something very special today. In fact, I haven't done this before. I think you're going to find it really fascinating. As you know, occasionally we talk to psychics, to mediums, and people in that truly amazing field. It amazes me every time I talk to someone of that nature who has those talents. Today we're going to be talking to an amazing international highly sought-after psychic medium. Her name is Julie Angel. She's based in England, and she's on the line with us from England, and we're going to talk to her today about the work she does and her, you know, her life as a psychic medium. She's also a real-life psychic detective. She helps find missing people and pets and objects, and her national and global predictions can be found on her new page on the website she has. She has a fascinating website. We'll go into that as we go along, but she does do global predictions. You know, there's so many people trying to cope with life adjustments, anxieties, and personal challenges, and as a professional psychic, she sheds light on some of the most pressing questions people have. And as a medium, she'll help people communicate with your loved ones who have passed on, and that helps to bring peace and solace to grief-stricken hearts and souls, and so they can move on with a firm sense of closure and a peace of mind that only communicating with their deceased loved ones can bring them. It's truly an amazing opportunity to talk to someone like Julie. There is so much to this, and a lot of people don't know fully what it's all about. So we're going to bring Julie on now and get her to explain how she works, a little bit about her background, and what it's like to be a psychic medium. So from England, from Malvern in Worcestershire in England, Julie Angel. Julie, welcome to us. Nice to have you. How are you today? Nice to have you here with us. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me on your show.
I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I'm a bit nervous too, but I'm all good and the world are good.
All right, good enough. By the way, you know, in the East Coast, it's 3 o'clock our time, but you are what? You're around 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock? Is that right?
That's right. So I'm going to keep people awake just a little bit longer in the United Kingdom if they're tuning in.
Very good. Okay. You know, we're being heard around the world. I hope people in the United Kingdom are listening. Anyway, I want you to begin by talking a little bit about your role as a psychic. How would you answer that question? It's a blunt one, but talk to me about it. How would you answer it?
Well, the way I see it, Doug, is that I have 5 main roles to fulfill as a psychic. And it's a bit of a long answer, but I need to sort of explain this to you and your listeners so they get a true understanding into it is what I personally do, because obviously I can't speak for all other psychics and mediums. But my fundamental role as a psychic is answering all your questions, giving you closure and restoring your faith, sometimes in yourself, sometimes in other people, and sometimes in situations. But if I see that things aren't going to work out, I suggest that people might want to sever their ties with negative people in situations, because life is too short for it not to be happy. The uncertainty of the future can even impact on people's mental and emotional health, and that's where I can come to the rescue without wanting to sound like to be a superhero. Whether people are agonizing about a family situation, career path, money, or lawsuits, I can help them make the right decisions. From love and career to future travel and kids, I can put your mind at ease concerning every curiosity. And I encourage people to listen to advice I see and channel to help them achieve their goals. I guess the second role I have, Doug, is to help people see the positive side of life. We all go through rough patches, and trust me, Doug, I've made many blunders and been through a lot of trauma. I felt everything was going downhill, and I know what it's like to feel trapped in darkness and feel there's no light at the end of the tunnel for my own heartache. So I use my experiential evidence and experience to relate to my clients and gently teach them we attract what we face, yet we have got the inner power to reverse it. So my psychic readings can illuminate what is blocking the rays of light and hope from entering a client's life. My third role as a psychic is to prepare and inspire people for a better life. People can't predict their own future and force it as per their wishes any more than I can. However, we can be prepared and brace ourselves, whatever's coming our way, be it good, bad, or ugly. And my psychic readings provide valuable information about your future, which gives people time to prepare themselves to build on their strengths and avoid their weaknesses. I unveil the positive in people's lives, ignite their passions and self-belief, so know that if they want to, they truly can move mountains. The fourth role I fulfill is to give people closure for peace of mind. This is where there's a slight degree of overlap between my work as a psychic and my work as an evidential medium. My own life's experience have left me really disturbed at times, Doug, and I've learned how to create closure and move on. If we are catapulted into situations with so many unanswered questions, we can be racked by sleepless nights, poor health, and a great big gaping hole in our hearts. Giving closure on the what-ifs and the if-onlys can provide a sense of security and stability, but most of all, can find comfort in that we did our best at the time. Finally, the fifth role I fulfill as a psychic is to help reveal someone's ultimate life mission, particularly if they feel lost or they're going nowhere fast. We all have a role to fulfill in this universe, Doug, and everyone has something to contribute. My psychic readings reveal the real you, so you feel satisfied and contented. My innate clairvoyant ability and extrasensory perception, and of course connection with other dimensions, help my clients make decisions that change their lives for the better. And all I want is for people to shine bright like the diamonds they truly are, have peace of mind, which of course is priceless.
That's great. That's a wonderful wish for your clients. You mentioned the term. Let me ask you, what is an evidential medium? What does that mean?
Well, that's an interesting question, Doug. Well, an evidential medium is different to a medium, Doug. A medium shares their perceived communications from the dead to their living loved ones. This can be verifiable communication or not. The medium may or may not provide proof that they are speaking with who they say they are. Some mediums deliver generalized information, often with additional emotional grief support for their clients. For example, oh, there's a little lady here with grey hair that loves you very much and is watching over you. Well, we can all probably think of one of those. Also, not berating them, but that's just the way that some people work. Also, some mediums need photos, rings, watches, or even the name of the deceased loved ones from the sitter. And I don't, because I refer to myself as an evidential medium, and that is how I work, both in one-to-one readings and on public demonstrations of clairvoyance. As an evidential medium, I make sure the person in the audience or my clients know in no uncertain terms that who I say is connecting to them is connecting to them. I give evidence, Doug, that could not possibly have been known to me. Providing evidence the way I do verifies there is the life after so-called death and that our loved ones are still with us, but just in a different way. I give specific information that is factual, that only those who knew the deceased would know and could not possibly be relayed by guesswork. A big difference between general mediumship and evidential mediumship is that an evidential medium like me will not ask you for anything. I don't want any information. I don't want any items. I don't want to know anything about the deceased person they want to contact. In fact, I don't want to see, hear, or know anything other than what someone's loved ones are sharing with the client, the person on the receiving end. The reason being is that I expect, without wanting to sound too direct, that items that someone on the other side will show me and describe them to the person that's on the receiving end. It is nice to have feedback afterwards, though, and that way, when someone is finished with their reading, they can go away knowing confidently that there's no way they could have let on any information that I could have built upon, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. On the other hand, what's the difference between a psychic and what a medium does? How do you answer that?
Well, there is a massive difference. Like I said earlier, not all psychics are mediums and not all mediums are psychics. I just happen to be both. A psychic mainly predicts the future, and they may use tools of divination like tarot cards or runestones. A medium is someone who can bridge the gap between this world and the next by communicating with someone's loved ones on the other side. That's it in a nutshell.
So it's two different fields, then, really. Two different talents, no question. I always thought a medium was a psychic, but that's not necessarily true. Huh? Interesting.
That's right.
All right.
That's right, yeah.
So let me ask you to describe or explain to me how someone who wants a reading, and by the way, do you do this on the telephone? Do you do it in person or what, a reading with someone? How does it work?
I do it all kinds of strange ways. First of all, I can do that reading. I can do readings face-to-face in my home in Malvern, or I can do them over the internet, and I have done for years via WhatsApp, Zoom, or Facebook Messenger, Skype, FaceTime, you name it. Even before we had the wonderful world of video calls, I could still do international readings by remote viewing, which I'll explain later. And your listeners can find out about the service I offer on my website, which is, obviously, you mentioned earlier, www.judeangelinternationalpsychicmedium.com. So that's short and sweet, and to remember, isn't it, said nobody ever.
It's a mouthful.
Anyway.
It's a mouthful. You got to admit that.
It is. Anyway, so in all the readings I do, I start by creating the right atmosphere in my room, and this is going to sound a bit hocus-pocus, but I'm going to tell you exactly what goes on. I light candles. I use aromatherapy room mist, both of which I acquire from a woman by the name of Melinda, who owns Bella Luna Loves, and she's based in London and creates second-to-none products. Her products can be found on Etsy. Anyway, I also play relaxing instrumental music for the benefit of both my clients and myself. Then I do an introduction to my client's reading, just use their first name, because when I'm taking a book in, I don't want to know someone's surname, because they might think I'm going to research them or do other things. People think, well, how could she possibly know that? How could she know that? How could she know that? So if I've only got someone's first name, and sometimes people give pseudo names, then that's all I need to book them in. And then I explain what I'm going to do. And then, good old UK, I have to recite a legal disclaimer in the work that I do, as that is required by UK law. Anyway, in all the readings I do, Doug, I start the reading by doing a person's aura drawing. And your aura is the, and even if people haven't seen auras, they can most certainly feel them. You've only got to meet someone for the first time and take a like or dislike them for no apparent reason, or to walk into a room and it feels welcome or eerie, then it's the aura that people are picking up on. I've been seeing auras since I was 9 years old. Anyway, your aura is an electromagnetic field that goes around your body. It reflects personality, skills, abilities, things you've been through, but more to point, things that are coming up in your life. It's at this stage in the reading, and you're going to laugh at this, I respectfully ask my clients to be quiet, as this is when I'm receiving messages clairvoyantly, which is a French word meaning clear seeing, clairaudiently, which is a French word meaning clear hearing, and clairsentently, which is a French word meaning clear feeling. I look at the colours in someone's auras, and the spirit world tell me what to say, because the same colour in people's auras can have completely different meanings. And I've been seeing auras since I was 9 years old, so that's a long time now, Doug. Then, depending on what type of reading people want, I go on to do a rune cast a year ahead. There are 24 runestones with 42 different interpretations, and the runestones are Viking in origin. I do a 3, 6, 9, and 12-month rune cast to see where, if anywhere, there are any peaks or troughs during the course of the year ahead, or whether there's a pattern unfolding. And there is a method in my madness for that. I then explain in explicit detail to my client what their aura means and what I have seen clairvoyantly. I explain the reading is based on what's likely to happen given their current circumstances, because obviously we do have free will. If they're coming for a psychic reading or a psychic and mediumship reading, I then look at everything with a fine-tooth comb anyway. I look at home, work, children, finance, health, travel, education, love and relationships. And whilst I receive the information from the spirit world, I also use tarot cards as they are a tangible way of showing people what I can see in mind's eye. We then go on to use ribbons, which is a form of psychometry, and finish with oracle cards, which my clients would have picked for themselves whilst I was busy doing the oral drawing and rattling on to myself. Towards the end of the reading, unless people have come specifically for evidential mediumship only, I explain in great detail who it is that's been helping with the reading. I describe the person's loved ones in spirit using the skills I learnt in the police to describe their height, build, hair colour, skin, eyes, tattoos, marks, scars, anything specific to them, mannerisms, where they live, what they did for an occupation, car they drove, and any pastimes they had. And then I give my clients plenty of time to ask any questions they may have. But I will always tell them not to tell me anything from the outset, so I'm not led by anything they say. It's all recorded for them to keep. I record it and I email it to them later, but they can record it to their phone or tablet or whatever. And they can also obviously keep the aura drawing. I also explain that the feedback I've had over the past 21 years is that some of the events I see clairvoyantly can be 6 to 7 years away and sometimes 10, so they sure get their money's worth.
Wow, that's quite a list of what you do. What's their reaction, a typical reaction from a client after going through this process with you? Are they blown away?
Well, I've seen quite a few ghosts in my time, and sometimes they come in looking okay and leave. A bit white. No, I'm joking. People often come in really apprehensive and go away feeling as though the weight of the world has been lifted from their shoulders, to be honest. And if I haven't achieved that, without holding them hostage, I don't want people to go with having unanswered questions, which is why I go on and on and on and on until we get to the bottom of whatever they need to know.
Sounds like one of these readings could take some time, could take a bit of time. I mean, what's typical for you with a client?
Yeah. My other half moans because the dinner's going cold because I'm running over time and my client's upset.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what inspired you to do this? I mean, you said you were having visions when you were like 9 years old, but what made you do this professionally? Explain it to me.
Oh, well, that's a long story. I mean, the reason I started seeing auras, I'm pretty convinced, is because I fell off a climbing frame when I was 9 years old and landed on my head. And if you do a bit of research into a lot of psychics and mediums, usually they've had some kind of head injury, or maybe they were born with the so-called gift or curse or whatever you want to call it. But I actually never planned to do this work, Doug. I actually wanted to be in the armed forces. So whilst I was getting old enough to join the armed forces, I did a good degree in sport and leisure studies. Then I worked in the fitness industry for a while, and then became a university lecturer. And I wanted to study forensic psychology at master's level, but because of the Official Secrets Act, I could not get access to the data I needed, so I was advised by the National Criminal Intelligence Service to join the police. So I did. During that time, I met my first husband in February 1999, and funny enough, his grandfather was retired but had been a sergeant with West Midlands Police, which in the UK is a neighbouring force to the one I was working in. He passed away in November 1999, but in April 2000, a few months before our wedding, his wife went in, so my husband's nan, went in for a routine eye operation. Unfortunately, she had a heart attack during the operation and subsequently passed away with pneumonia. And this is where it gets really weird. Strangely, and literally overnight, I could hardly breathe. I had a load of medical tests done, and they said there was nothing wrong with me. One doctor said it was stress-related hyperventilation, but I said, I'm not stressed, and no amount of breathing in a paper bag is making any difference. Anyway, one day, as you do, I was cleaning the stairs, and when I got to the top, I saw a small pair of size 3 navy blue shoes. I looked up, and there, said right in front of me, was my husband's deceased grandmother, wearing a bluebell coloured outfit with buttons down the front. She was sporting a navy blue hat too. I'm not joking. She looked at me and said, this is the outfit I bought for a wedding, as we had a millennium wedding on July 2000. Well, I nearly went flying backwards with a vacuum cleaner down the stairs. And then, after I'd recovered from the incident, I rang my mother-in-law-to-be and said, what outfit was your mum going to wear to our wedding, just out of curiosity? And she replied, well, she bought a bluebell suit with navy shoes and a handbag. She got a bluebell hat but wanted to change it to a navy one. Of course, I couldn't tell my mother-in-law-to-be what I'd just seen, otherwise she thought I would start raving mad. But then, it's this, honestly, you have to see it to believe it. But then it didn't stop there. She then gave me strict instructions on how to feed Mitzi the cat we'd inherited, which is her black and white cat. And so one day, I overcooked a piece of fish for Mitzi in the microwave. And in my head, I thought, oh, she's a cat, she won't mind. So this is this private thought in my head versus the microwave, yeah? And anyway, with that, I heard a very loud voice saying, don't give Mitzi that. And I swung around to see where the noise had come from, and his nan was in my kitchen with her arms akimbo saying, don't give Mitzi that. And I literally jumped out of my skin, Doug. She told me, she didn't stop there. This woman was on a mission, I'll tell you. She told me to tell my future mother-in-law to put a colour in her hair, because if I say to someone, I say dye your hair, not put a colour in it, and even at her own wake, so she was coming back before she even had her own funeral, she was telling me to tell her other daughter that there was plenty of food in the freezer, which was located in the garage, because obviously when she was on the earth plane, she wanted to put on a good spread. I mean, you can bear in mind how I felt at that time. I thought I was going to be a complete lunatic. I thought I was going mad, and actually went to the doctor and said, I'm seeing and hearing dead people, and they're telling me things. And the doctor's prescribed me Prozac and Valium, which is antidepressant and tranquilizer, which made me even more chilled out. So that made the clairvoyant ability even stronger. But anyway, one day, Doug, this is where it really got a bit even more intense. One day I went to see my mum-in-law, who opened her door, let me in, and then sat back down on a puff in her front room. And there was an elderly chap who I'd never met, wafting his arms around her. And I looked at him, and bearing in mind I was a copper at the time, police officer, I looked at him with great suspicion and thought, does Jeff know about this? And she turns to the chap, I mean, she looked completely chilled out. She turned to the chap, who turned out to be a spiritual healer, and said, ooh, is there anything you can do for Julie? She can't breathe properly. And he said, oh, it's just Dorothy. Tell her to stand back a bit. Now, I was not happy, Bunny, at the time. And so feeling stupid and half sarcastic, I said out loud, okay, Dorothy, would you mind awfully standing back a bit? And all of a sudden, the respiratory condition, what the doctors thought was hyperventilation, went. But the mediumship didn't. And to cut a long story short, Doug, I decided to find this newfound skill of communicating with the afterlife at work in the police and won several commendations. But sadly, I could not turn a blind eye to some of the malpractices going on in the police, and it was making me ill. So I put in a whistleblower report and was asked to leave. Devastated by the injustice of it all and worrying about money, as I was the sole income earner, I turned to food and drink for comfort. I put on so much weight that I could not fit into my clothes for a wedding that we'd been invited to. After hunting around with no luck, Dorothy, my husband's deceased nan, said, ooh, go down Fryer Street, right to the bottom, you will get what you want there. So guess what I did? And I came across a nearly new designer clothes shop called The Niche, and I found a pink suit just like the one I'd wanted to wear, but being a bigger size. And so, me being me, I blurted out to the shopkeeper, her name's Anne Erie, you'll never guess how I came across this place. And I told her, and said, well, why don't you start doing readings from here? And that's how it all started, Doug. I wasn't meant to return to lecturing or the fitness industry, as the universe had another plan. In fact, an event organiser at what was called the Old Holbert Hotel, opposite the shop in Fryer Street, found out I was doing readings there and asked me to be part of the hospitality nights they're hosting through their hotel chain. And that's when things really took off. I've never forgotten the key people that helped me on my journey, least of all my late spiritual teacher, Jane Frost, who helped me learn how to control things and switch off from being bombarded by psychic and mediumship information right around the clock.
Well, listen, that's an amazing story, Julie. Absolutely amazing. Time is going by here. A couple of quick questions, important questions. Number one, tell me a little bit about your psychic detective work. Do you really help find and locate lost people and pets?
Yes, I really can locate missing people and pets. In fact, I used my clairvoyant ability when I was in the police and received several police commendations. My sergeant called me to the office one day and said, PC Matthews, have you got an unregistered informant? As you always seem to be in the right place at the right time. Well, you can imagine the response if I told him it was my husband's grandfather that was giving me information. I also saved three people's lives as a direct result of being given a tip-off from the other side. But locating people and pets is easy. I simply become them. I can either remote view them, see what they're seeing, hear what they're hearing, and hone in on like a racing pigeon, or I can astral project. Usually people contact me with a missing person or pet with a poster, so with the intended target in mind, I hone into their surroundings. I did it the other day with a dog that ran off into acres and acres of cornfields near to where my parents live. I said, they'll find him in a barn. There's a number of cottages or on a steep lane, and it's an unmarked road, and that's precisely where he was found 24 hours later. I guess I'm a bit like a human drone in that regard, and trust me, Doug, I do drone on at times.
Right, and do they have to be in England, or can they be anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world, and I've had a lot of inquiries about things that have hit the national press, and we have to be careful because people sometimes think that, you know, we're trying to get recognition through national studies, and I always do that work for free. Because often there's rewards up and all sorts of stuff, and so you have to be.
I think that's great. Briefly,
I never ever charge for that ever.
Really, that's interesting. Very interesting.
Never.
Briefly, what would you say? You communicate with people on the other side. What is life like on the other side? Do you have any idea?
I had a short visit to there once. I had a near-death experience in 2001. But from what I can work out, Doug, it's absolutely fantastic. For a start off, there's no physical pain. No matter how someone came to be in the spirit world, whether it's through a long-drawn-out illness or a tragic accident, there's no physical body, so there's no physical pain. It's a soul and consciousness that lives on. When we are in spirit, there's no time, no dates, no clocks, no calendars, therefore there are no deadlines. We can be where we want to be, whenever we like, with whoever we want to be with. There are no limitations of time and places. Your loved ones in the spirit can see and understand everything. They know, so you have to be careful what you're thinking and what you're doing. They know what you're thinking. They know what is going on to happen. And they know what has gone in the past, even if they weren't physically present at the time when they were on the earth plane. They know they are loved and missed. And I have seen with my own eyes how they stand next to loved ones here, comforting them, soothing them, and doing their best to let them know directly that they are there. And transport isn't an issue either. So if you go on holiday to Florida or want to have a round of golf, they get to go too, except it doesn't cost them anything. They're reunited with relations. Yeah, they're reunited with friends.
I got another question. We're running out of time, Julie. I know you do global predictions, and you mentioned a global prediction to me. Well, it would be a global prediction. Talk about that, and tell me about the prediction you made for me before we went on the air.
Okay, this is really weird. And I'll explain to you that I don't watch mainstream news or listen to the radio or buy papers. For me personally, I find it a bit depressing. But towards the end of 2019, I felt I'd lost my touch with the runestones. I've been saying the same thing to everyone, i.e. there were events outside my people's control that were causing huge problems with travel, disruption at work, which is about their finances, their home life, and for some people, even ill health. It seemed as though people were under some kind of house arrest, and I just didn't understand it. Then obviously COVID-19 struck, and it all made sense. After that, I realized that what was going on nationally and globally could affect my individual clients, so I took it upon myself to predict worldwide events. And so to keep people entertained during lockdown, my partner and I did free live sessions on social media. Obviously, we could not do evenings of clairvoyance at venues for obvious reasons. I would tune in during the day, and then we went live. He'd read out the questions, and I, through the spirit world and my psychic ability, would answer them. It's going to be good getting back on out there on tour, both at home and overseas, I have to say.
And finally, tell me about the king you mentioned before we went on the air.
Yeah, well, one of the things, I mean, I haven't updated my website just recently, but the
make
one of the things
quick,
I
Julie.
Say is that...
make it quick.
Well, I'll get around to... Sorry, say again.
I was going to say you got to make it quick. You told me before we chatted, that you think Prince William is going to become Prince Charles. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's what I believe. 100. I also predicted that Harry and Meghan would have a baby before it was announced on media. I put it on Facebook, so there was a time attached to it. Right. I said it would be a girl. And I
Julie,
said
we
got to
go.
Was,
sorry, we're out of time. Our guest has been Julie Angel. Her website, folks, JulieAngelInternationalPsychicMedium.com. Julie Angel, InternationalPsychicMedium.com. Thanks, Julie. It's been great having you as a guest.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit CloseUpTelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Remember that prediction, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.